We're in Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 to 27 tonight. The believers need to separate from heinous offenses. Heinous means extremely severe or noxious or evil. And that's what this chapter is devoted to, Leviticus chapter 20. The timing of this subject, of course, on the need to separate from heinous offenses could never be better. As we all know now, a convicted felon who was only released from jail 3 weeks ago invaded a home where a lady, Mary Ellen Welch, was visiting her friend. I think it was last Sunday morning, just for a cup of coffee. And she ended up losing her life. This man originally was going to just rob them of money and then take an SUV, but he recognized that they could recognize him. He was afraid of going back to jail because he had a long list, so he decided to kill them. He shot but did not kill the first lady, and the second lady he killed. And the second lady he killed was a 62-year-old cancer patient. Now, what's really heinous on top of this, this man had been jailed just a number of years before because of a crime that he had committed against a 5-year-old child, and yet he was out after 3 or 4 years. I forget what it was. So,
8 years.
Eight years? Or whatever. Well, though it may seem obvious that we Christians should never perform such deeds, Leviticus 20 clearly reveals we should never tolerate them either. God not only wants us to be holy in the sense of not doing evil, He wants us to be holy and not tolerating it in society as a whole. Yes, we need to love the sinner. We need to seek to see him come to faith in Christ. But God wants us as a people not even to tolerate such deeds that the death penalty be invoked for such crimes, and that man's government exacts such punishment. So we look at Leviticus chapter 20. God called for the death penalty on certain special heinous offenses. Now, these are not the only offenses that demand the death penalty. Murder, general murder, isn't mentioned in this group. That obviously demands the death penalty. There are several things that are not included. But these are specific heinous crimes that God fingered because of the culture that they were in. And it's interesting how God wanted the people as a whole, as a group, to react to this, and it's really a teaching tool on how God wants us to react. Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. Let me read this. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Again you shall say to the children of Israel, Whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or the foreigners that sojourn in Israel, that gives any of his seed unto Moloch, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given of his seed unto Moloch to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. What this was child sacrifice. They would build a sacrifice at the base of a hollow altar here, and the flames would come up and out, and then they would take this is often newborn infants and drop them right down through there. Of course, the children would die. This was especially heinous to God. And God says, if a person does this, he's to be executed by the whole community of believers getting together and stoning this person to death. Now, that would be a very dramatic effect on everybody else. Everybody else would say, we don't want to go near this. We want to stay as far away from this as possible. Now, this was a common practice in the pagans around Israel, but God didn't want them to adopt this at all. So this vile form of idolatry defiled God's sanctuary and his reputation. That's what his name means. You'll notice in verse 3, he says, to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. One's name represented his reputation. God says, if you don't execute judgment on this, it's going to make me look bad in front of the pagans. He says, you don't do that. So you carry out this judgment. So this vile form of idolatry defiled God's sanctuary and his reputation, so God would cut off the guilty from the nation. Now, God then announced that if any man and his family failed to prosecute one who was guilty of such idolatry, if he knew it existed, God would judge that man and his family for tolerating this evil. Now notice verses 4 and 5. If the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he gives of his seed to Moloch and kill him not, Then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech, even among their people. I believe that this demonstrates God's attitude towards the Judicial Committee members in the state of Connecticut who recently voted against the three strikes and you're outlaw. There was a law that was put there, or a bill that was put in front of the Judicial Committee that said if a person had committed his third major crime, automatic life sentence. No parole. Not even a possibility of parole. But there are several officials there, several leaders, including, I think, the leader of the House, there happen to be all Democrats, that refuse to go with that because it doesn't meet their... And if they had passed that, this man wouldn't have gotten out of prison because he had a long list, and this murder wouldn't have happened. So pressure is on him now. In fact, the governor's come out and thankfully voiced her concern about this, that they pass the three strikes and you're outlaw. That's exactly what God's attitude is. God's attitude is those men who allowed that to go are also culpable because they let this man come out. They're responsible before God. So this is a very serious business. So, see, there's not only sin in committing the sin, there's sin in tolerating it. God doesn't want us to tolerate it. He doesn't want us to tolerate it in society. God also called Israel to depart from spiritism and spiritists, or be cut off by God himself. Notice verse 6. And the soul that turns after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, a wizard would be a male witch, to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. That's what God thinks of witchcraft. He's absolutely opposed to it. Then, the Lord then added that one who cursed his parents was to be executed. Verse 9, for everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood shall be upon him. If they applied that one today, there'd be a lot of people who would be executed. But God does not want us to disrespect our parents. He wants us to honor them. God's attitude is this. If you disrespect your parents, you're just disrespecting the person that gave you physical life. You forfeit your physical life. If you're going to disrespect the source of your physical life, that's it. So this is very serious. Also, God called for the death penalty for those who commit adultery. Verse 10, and the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Now, there was a law in the books that goes back to colonial times. They didn't have the death penalty, but I think it was a crime that was punishable by at least imprisonment. But adultery, this is unheard of in America today, adultery would execution. It's the chair. That's it. But that's God's rule. We're supposed to be intolerant of adultery. Then, the Lord God called for the death penalty for those who committed various forms of incest. And incest is unlawful sexual relations between members within a family. Verses 11 and 12, if a man lies with his father's wife, has uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. Then the Lord called for the death penalty for those who committed homosexual acts. This would really be politically incorrect today. But notice verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. He shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. You can see why there are groups in gay and lesbian community that would love to try to outlaw preachers from preaching from a passage like this or Romans chapter 1. They're actually trying to do that. But if they do, that's where I violate the law. The Word of God is clear. It should be the death penalty. It should be the death penalty. Then God called for the death of a threesome involving a man and a mother and her daughter. They were to be executed by fire. Notice verse 14. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. It's a threesome where a man marries a woman and then her mother. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. I don't want to go into detail, but the Jews understood this. This was death by means of molten lead. All right. It was actually poured down the throat, and the person died that way. It was a very quick death, a very dramatic one. But it was designed to demonstrate to the rest of the community this is absolutely intolerated. And this will go for anybody, all the people in the threesome. They were supposed to be executed this way. So this is a stunning thing, but this shows you what God thinks of this kind of a sin. Then, God also called for the death penalty for the act of bestiality, verses 15 and 16. If a man lie with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. They shall slay the animal. And if a woman approaches unto any animal and lies down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So, this gets down to the full gamut of sins that existed. But God says, I want you to be absolutely intolerant of it. Not only I don't want you to do it, I want you to prosecute it. I want you to be active in prosecuting this and putting these people to death. Now, in Leviticus 20, verses 17 to 21, it is not stated that the sins in those verses are to be punished by way of capital punishment, but it is clear that those involved in them were to be removed from the fellowship in Israel. And the sins in this group include probably lesser forms of incest of that day, according to the culture of the day, and cohabitation during menstruation. And let me just briefly read those verses 17 to 21. If a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off from the sight of their people. He's uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. If a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain, and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or your father's sister, for he that uncovers is near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. If a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, they shall die in childless. If a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing, he has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall go childless. Well, God also wanted Israel to have great intolerance for such heinous sins that the land not vomit them out as it had vomited out the Canaanites. And, of course, this is a figurative speech for God's intolerance of the sin. Verses 22 and 23. All my judgments and practice them that the land where I bring you dwell then spew you not out, actually vomit you not out. The other place in Scripture where this is used in the New Testament is in Revelation, where it talks about the Laodicean church. Christ says, I'm about to spew thee out of my mouth, vomit you out of my mouth. That's what Christ thinks of the evangelical church today, the same as he thought of the Canaanites. They're departed so far from God, they're intolerable. You shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast up before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. God was appalled at them. So, God repeated this same thrust, referring as example to the dietary distinctions Israel was to observe that separated her from the paganism of the Gentile nations around her. In verse 25, you shall therefore put difference between clean animals and unclean, between unclean and fowls and clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by animal, by bird, by any manner of living thing that creeps on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And then he repeats what he did in verses 7 and 8. Ye shall be holy. The word holy means separate. You shall be separate unto me, for I, the Lord, am separate, and I have severed you from other people that you should be mine. And then he closes with referring once again to the need for capital punishment for people who were caught involved in spiritism. A man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard, you shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And the they refers to all the people, because you go back to verse 1 of chapter 20, the people of the land shall stone them with stones, all the people. Now, the practice in the stoning was that the person who had been the first witness had to cast the first stone. And then all the other people would cast the stones until the person had died. So, heinous offenses, severe offenses like child sacrifice, spiritism, cursing one's parents, adultery, incest, homosexual acts, and bestiality were not only to be avoided, but the innocent were to be so intolerant of them that they prosecuted and executed the guilty. Lesser sins were equally to be punished for God's holiness demanded not only abstinence from evil, but an intolerance of it by all. See, God's looking at our attitudes. when this home invasion occurred, every Christian who heard of it should have responded, not with hatred towards the man. We have to recognize the man is in desperate need of Christ. But nevertheless, every Christian should respond with an attitude of complete intolerance for something like that. That is not acceptable behavior. It has to be punished. That should be our response. So in application, may we not only resist falling for heinous sins in our own lives, but not tolerate it, even in others, that we might remain separated from sin like God wants us to be. One of the big dangers that I see happening in the church, and I say this in the church and a nationwide level at this point in America, is that there is a growing tolerance for false doctrine. There's a growing tolerance even for sins. 25, 30 years ago, the church would have bristled. Everybody would have bristled on its back at certain things that are being actually promoted in the pulpit today. But now it's almost kind of faddish, and it's wrong. So we need to have an intolerance. This doesn't mean that we have hatred, but there should be an intolerance for sin. The Holy Spirit, who indwells us, is named holy not because that's just a term that God wanted to cook up. The word holy means separate. The Holy Spirit who is within us, himself is separate. And if we're controlled by the Spirit of God, there should be an incredible intolerance for sin. There should be a holiness, a separation.